All right, so we are back on Proverbs 14. Are you ready to go, Brother Cool?
I am.
All right, I think we left off at verse 11. You want to read that for us, brother? We did 1 through 10 the other day. We're going to pick up at verse 11. Let's see how far we get tonight. I want to read verse 11 for us, brother.
It says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish."
Yeah, I like that. The first part of it is pretty self-explanatory. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. It makes me think of Psalm 5:5, where it says God hates those that are wicked or workers of iniquity. But I like that part where it says overthrow the tabernacle of the upright. Or I'm sorry, the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. I like that because I've always thought about the tabernacle. That had to be neat. Interesting, pretty amazing, that tent that they were using that was the tabernacle that held the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then the Old Testament's full of archetypes, so now we are the tabernacle. We're like, our bodies are like a tent, and now it houses the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah, amen. And that's kind of what came to mind for me in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verses 13 to 15. "Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance."
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, what an interesting archetype. They were taking that tent down, putting it up, moving it around, and then when Acts 2 comes and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls, then we become like the tabernacle or the tent of God. These bodies are like the tents that we drag around.
Yeah, amen.
I like that word upright, too. Yashar in the Hebrew, it means straight, pleasing, well right, correct, level, pleasing, fitting, proper, uprightness, kind of has a lot of the same mindset of righteousness. So that's what it's talking about when it says, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. So again, the Proverbs, every time I read it, it just keeps reminding me about the old mindset of you reap what you sow.
Yeah, I mean, the wicked are destroyed by their own wickedness, and God knows that sin destroys, and his commandments are not grievous, and that's how we stay in the way of life. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that's why he said also that the water that I shall give him shall be a fountain springing up unto eternal life. So it'll just like keep flourishing unto eternal life.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Verse 12. Yeah, this is a famous one. I use this one a lot. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." When I hear this verse, I always think of, what is it, Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. So you choose your own way. You get to choose your own way. God gives you free will, but it leads to death, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah, and I think about how man has such short sight. We can only see what's like right in front of us. There's a way that seems right to a man. Like, we have our senses. We can feel and touch and see and hear. And we may think something's right in our flesh, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it may seem right like to the flesh, but as you can see, like, the world is following after the flesh. It's destroying them. It's leading to their destruction. It seems right to them, but it's the ways of death.
Yeah, amen. I wanted to read. Let me go grab a verse out of Romans, speaking of this particular topic. Romans 6:16. "Whom you yield yourself servants, to whom you obey his servants, you are whom you'll be, I can't read, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So much for the people that say, oh, obedience doesn't change anything. It's already all done. No, actually, the Bible says obedience leads to righteousness, which leads to life. Sin leads to death, obviously, judgment. So much for them not believing that we must do right and be righteous. Amen?
Amen, yeah. And I also have a verse, Jude 1:19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, not having the Spirit. So I think about the way that seems right to a man is, yeah, the sensual things, I guess you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh, and you choose. How can you choose? I guess the point that I'm trying to make is, how can you choose the way that is right if you don't have any standard for what is right besides your flesh and besides your own pleasure?
Yeah. Are you saying that we have to learn how to judge rightly, brother? I thought we're not supposed to judge anything.
Yeah, we got to learn how to judge rightly. And the only way we can do that is by fearing the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Yep. And it's the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Amen, brother. Verse 13, you want to read it for us?
Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness.
Interesting. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Let's look at that word laughter. I think it means what I think it means. Yeah, it can mean scorn. It can mean mocking. It can mean laughter. So in the context, what do you think that means, brother?
In context, let's see. So, again, like going with the sensual thing, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. It's almost like your flesh can be, like, stimulated by, oh, someone said something foolish or something happened that made me laugh, or, like, I think a thought that was evil, but it made me laugh. That kind of, it's like the laughter is like it's kind of madness, and it talks about that in Ecclesiastes. I like that verse.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 2 verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? So I think about laughter as being kind of like this almost like fleshly madness.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, when you're all done being like kind of crazy, your heart's still heavy, because that's like your soul inside yourself. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And one of those things that defiles a man is foolishness, he said.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. So the laughter, does this make sense? I think you hit it right on. The laughter is like an outside veneer, but just because of that laughter inside, nothing really changes in the condition of man, does it?
Nope.
Yeah. And I like how it says, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So basically, it's talking about man's end in his own ways that leads to death. Even if there's laughter on the outside, even if it looks like it's good on the outside, it's like death and rotting and cancer on the inside, because it's empty if it's void of the things of God and eternal things. And it also makes me think of... even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of the mirth is heaviness. It makes me think how you and I were talking the other day, because we were going to go and stand out, Sister Emma and I were going to go and stand out some comedy shows, Christian comedy shows. And it made me think that people have all kinds of sorrows and troubles and woes and sins and all kinds of things, but what do they want to do? They want to go pay $45 a ticket to go have some guy make fun of their faith and the world and make them laugh for an hour. Isn't that kind of what this is talking about?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking along that same vein, where it's like we go out and stand at the churches and whatnot, and we run into people that you tell them their sin point blank. They tell them you need to repent. You're in false ways. You need to come out of there. Otherwise, you're going to face the wrath of God. And they sort of like nervously laugh it off. I kind of think about that too, where it's like they kind of joke about it or they mockingly say something. But I'm sure they turn around and go back and their heart is like, they know it's true, but they're just kind of left to avoid it.
Yeah. That's a great point. At the Stronger's Man conference where I stood out, I was telling a man that was out there smoking cigarettes. I said, sir, do they tell you you got to leave your sin? And he was standing there going, hey, man, I gave up hard drugs. And I said, well, that's awesome. But I said, you got to repent of all sin and you can't live in sin. And one of their men from the Stronger Man's conference, as I'm telling this man, he's got to leave his sin. This man and the Stronger Man the Stronger Conference man were laughing at me as I was telling them, you can't keep living in sin. Christ didn't die to save you in your sin. He calls you out of your sin. They were both laughing at me, shaking their heads like, no, we're fine. We can live in our sin. We're just fine. And it was like they were breaking the truth of God. They were breaking the tension with lies and laughter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what that's talking about. Verse 14, and the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. So the backslider in the heart, he's going to be filled with his own ways. I think you just said it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. I think it's also safe to say, out of the abundance of your heart, your life is kind of lived, isn't it?
Yeah, amen. We judge a tree by the fruit. And I like that word backslider because it says, if I look at the definition, literally to retreat.
Yeah,
and we talked about the other day about always having that forward-facing armor.
Amen.
Where it's like, even if Satan's throwing all the darts at you and whatnot, you just hold your ground and you keep moving forward because it's forward-facing armor. If you turn around and run away, Satan's going to pelt you with arrows all day long. But if you stand your ground, you can kind of push through it. So that's what I kind of think about.
Yeah, I think that is in, let me see, Ephesians 6. Is it where Apostle Paul says, let's see, I want to find it real quick. I thought it was Ephesians 6. I know that's where the armor is at. He talks about what we're supposed to do. I'm looking it up here. Yeah. Yes, it is Ephesians 6. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, there's no retreating. They're standing, just like you said.
Yeah, you keep marching on the narrow path. And yeah, the backslider, I mean, you guys have been at this walk so much longer than I have, and you've seen people backslide, like turn back from the faith following the narrow path, and how like tragically downhill people's lives can go, and they turn away from the light and they just are filled with their own ways.
Yeah. Filled with their own ways. Yes, they're going to go do. And we always talk about that. We have never in the years we've been doing this seen anybody start seeking the Lord and then stop short, and then stay where they are, and we see them or find out about them 2 or 3 or 4 years later, and they're right where they were, brother. No, they always, 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 so far, go backwards. I'm trying to think of, have we known a few that have pushed through and gone forward after some issues? Very few, a little bit, but most everybody, when they hit issues and they stop, and they kind of backslide and retreat, most of them never stay in that ground. They keep going backwards. It's like when you start retreating and backsliding, you don't backslide a little. A lot of times it's kind of like, ready? There's the old saying, nobody smokes one cigarette a day. If you're a smoker and you go back to smoking, nobody smokes one cigarette a day. It's a half a pack, two packs. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about the second part of that? And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Does that mean that we know that there's no one good and we can do nothing without Christ, John 15 says. So does that mean like a good man, a man that's established in the Lord, a man that has righteousness and upright ways, that those things he's sowing in him, the goodness that comes from God and the Word and the Spirit, that will sustain him? You think that's what that means?
Yeah, and I think about that verse where it talks about godliness with contentment is great gain.
Yeah, Timothy.
And it's kind of like the opposite to the backslider, where it's like the person's not content with what the Lord has given them or what the Lord has ordained for them, so they backslide into their pride, their false ways, whatever it might be, because I want to do my own thing now. But a good man is satisfied with what the Lord gives him.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Verse 15, brother, if you'd read that.
The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going.
All right, so this one makes me think of this verse from 1 Thess 5. One of the key verses I learned when I came to the faith. 1 Thess 5, 19, 20, 21, 22. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, that means test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So when I think about this verse in Proverbs, I'm thinking about just what it says. That, let me go back to it. The simple believeth every word. So you're simple. That word simple, I'm going to guess, I'm going to look up the definition, probably means like, yep, naive, seducible, silly, open-minded. Hey, brother, you're young. You're younger, much younger than me. Do you ever remember hearing this saying, don't let your mind be so open that your brains fall out? Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah, I have heard that, yep.
So that's, I think what this is talking about is the simple is open-minded. They're like, hey, that sounds good. It might come from a modern pastor, might come from a radio false teacher, might come from a track that is unbiblical. And the simple just kind of soaks it up. They're not testing everything. They're not an Acts 17 Berean. The simple believes every word. I'll never forget, there was a man I was united to not long ago. You actually know who he is. I'm not going to mention his name. But I remember in the beginning of our walk together, he accused me of something. And he said, what did he say? I'm looking for a certain word. He said, you're very negative. Because we would go out witnessing and we would meet someone. And then I'd say, well, we'll see where that goes. Say, I saw a couple signs I'm not sure about. And he'd say, you're really pessimistic. You're pessimistic. You're kind of negative. He wanted to believe everything everybody said, or he wanted to believe good in everything that he heard. And I was always like, I'm going to test it. I'm going to see if that's true. We're going to look at that church and see if it's biblical. And he would always tell me in the beginning of our walk together, when he first started doing street ministry with me, he would say, you're pessimistic. You're negative. After about 2 or 3 months of doing street ministry with me and meeting hundreds of people that would lie and do all, he would say, I see why you're like that. We have to test everything, don't we? We can't just believe what people tell us. We can't just think the best and go with that, can we? And I say, no, we got to test all things. I think that's what this Proverbs verse is talking about. What say you, brother?
Yeah, that's very true. I think about intellectualism, where it's like the intellectual debates people want to have, the simple believeth every word. We've seen it. Where people kind of like man please, where they're like, oh yeah, that's right. Yep, you gotta repent. Oh yeah, you gotta come out of the world. You gotta do this, that. Oh yeah, that sounds really good. Losing my life. Yep, that sounds right. And they're just kind of like, they're not even like grasping it. They're not really understanding it, but they're just kind of like
going with it.
Believing every word. Yeah, they're kind of going with it. But the prudent man will be like, really, does that line up with the Word of God? Okay, let me test that to the Word of God, because you're supposed to, I mean, we're supposed to value God's opinion and God's Word above man's opinion and man's thoughts and man's ways. So we're supposed to test everything to the word of God. Yeah, that's very true.
Amen. I'm glad you brought up that man-pleasing, because that's why you have 40,000 denominations, is because you had 50 people meeting. Half the people want this. The other half want this. This group's going to go please these people. This group's going to go please these people. They go and start a new denomination. And over the years, it ended up with 40,000 different flavors. And that word prudent, it means cunning, crafty, shrewd, sensible. I love that. The Bible actually says Satan was cunning and crafty in the garden. And isn't that interesting? Our master says, I think it's Matthew 10, be wise as a serpent, gentle as doves. So we're called to be cunning and prudent about things and test all things and not just go by hearsay. We actually test a tree by its fruit. Amen.
Amen. And another verse from Ecclesiastes 2 came to mind, Ecclesiastes 2:14. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. So the wise man's eyes are in his head. I like that.
That's so graphic. It's like his eyes are in his head. So basically use them. You know, right? Look and see what you're doing. Because right there it says it. That's a good verse, brother. It says, the prudent man looketh well to his going. He doesn't just run over a cliff. He's looking to see where he's going.
Yeah. Yep.
So much for blind faith, right, brother?
Yeah, amen.
We have faith, but we don't have to be blind. Verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Yeah, we were talking about this one the other day, or maybe a couple weeks ago. What say you about this, brother?
A wise man fear. Well, I said the fear of the Lord. Here, let me look up that verse.
Yeah, the fear of the Lord is the... Well, the one verse says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's in Proverbs.
This is Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil.
Yeah.
Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and I just read a verse that matches here too. So a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. That First Thessalonians 5 verse, I remember that caught me the first time I read it. It doesn't say depart from evil. It says depart from all appearance of evil. That's a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, very true. You got to be blameless.
Yeah, so depart from all evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. You know what this reminds me of, brother? This reminds me of when we're witnessing, especially outside like religious places, and they're worldly, and they're carnal, and they have false gospels, and they're corrupt, and they have everything on them that says the wrath of God is coming, and they stand there and they say, oh, we're fine. We're going to be just fine. No, we're fine. We're fine. Jesus died for our sin. We're going to be just fine. It's like they're confident in their sin. I know you've met lots of people like that in your time witnessing.
Yeah, we haven't really seen a fear of God in the church systems. I think that's what these two verses are talking about, where it's like, instead of saying what they should say, really, we're in sin? Can you show me in the scriptures we're in sin? I want to make sure I'm in all truth and walking in the light. Can you show me where my sin is? Instead of saying that, they say, no, we're good. Why are you judging us? Why are you hating us? You don't love us. And
yeah,
they're so totally blind to the importance of departing from evil.
Yeah. I did a teaching yesterday about Satan's kingdom, and part of my teaching was about Satan's kingdom versus God's kingdom, and I came across this verse yesterday. It's one we quote all the time, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine in them. So Satan, the God of this world, is blinding people so that they can't see. And he uses all different devices to do that, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a great distractor. He's made all sorts of false churches, false religions, and the flesh. He's propped up everything the flesh loves in the culture. I mean, he's really good at what he does. He's a hard worker.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, definitely can't accuse him of being lazy, can we?
Nope.
No. Yeah, so that's an amazing verse to remember. It's a good one to remember when we're in the street. A wise man feareth and depart evil. So we tell these church people, you should be departing evil. But to be a fool is to rage and to be confident in your position. It's kind of like if you're in quicksand going down and you're like, come on, grab the rope, we'll pull you out. And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I like it in here. And you're like, you're sinking. No, I'm good. Don't worry, I'll hit the bottom soon. I'm fine. You're like, no, you're gonna be destroyed. No, I'm good. I think that's a good verse to remember on churchianity people claiming Christ, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's good to make the delineation with this verse too, where it's like the wise man feareth and departeth from evil. It doesn't say the wise man feareth and intellectually debates those who have a differing opinion yeah. and trying to find common ground. It doesn't say that the fool rages and is confident. So they'll say, well, you're confident in what you believe, and you rage and you yell and you scream and you preach all these hard things. So you're confident. You're not wanting to talk with anyone. And it's like the delineation is the wise man fears and departs from evil.
Right.
It's anything outside of the word of God, his commandments, that which he tells us not to do. And the fool rages and is confident in his evil, that which God has told us not to do. So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah. Yeah, good point, brother. It's a John 3:19-21 delineation, light and dark. You can be bold when you're in the light and preaching the truth. When you're in the dark and you're bold about your darkness, it's now to your condemnation. Just like you can be a proud doer, Psalm says, of the things of God, but you better not be prideful about yourself. So it depends on the context of the application. It can be good and righteous, or it can be in the dark and sinful. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 17, brother.
He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated.
All right, so he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. So I'm thinking of a thought of about like quick temper there. Would you agree?
Yep.
That someone that gets like in their flesh quickly, quick tempered, and we all can get in our flesh, but you know, there's a difference between getting in your flesh and then acting in your flesh. So the flesh can rear up, but we don't follow it and we don't give it ground, do we?
No, we don't. A verse came to mind, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. So he that is soon to anger dealeth foolishly. So you let your flesh lead, Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, that walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Romans 8:8 says if we're in the flesh, we can't please God. And a man of wicked devices is hated. I'd like to take people to Psalms 5:5. And when I quote this to people, they always shake their heads and go, you're crazy, it doesn't say that. And I read to them Psalm 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Does that say exactly what it says, brother?
Yeah, it does. It's hard to get around that one.
And people look at that and they're like, what? God hates a worker? Yeah, he loved the world in Christ. But if you work iniquity, you're going to get the wrath, the anger, the hate, the fire of God, because he hates all iniquity. And so, yeah, putting those two together.
Yeah, amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, amen. And I was just thinking about a man of wicked devices. That word devices means like intention, like you're planning.
Yeah.
Is hate. And I was thinking, like, who is the man of wicked devices hated by? And you said that verse in Psalms. The Lord definitely hates the workers of iniquity. He hates all liars and people that just love wickedness. And I was also thinking of Psalm 40:4, where it says, Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that we're supposed to hate every false way and every wicked plan and intention and device. And that's what I'm thinking, like, not only the Lord, but those who are born of the Lord are supposed to hate a man of wicked devices. Love his soul, want him to repent, but, like, hate his intentions, his thoughts, his heart of evil, I would say.
Yeah, is it Jude that says hating even their garments stained with sin? Something along those lines?
Yeah.
And then Paul talks about lay hands quickly on no man lest you be a partaker of his sins.
Yeah.
So we got to watch out for that. Exactly. Let's see. Verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. So it's going back to that mindset of the person that just hears, doesn't test, doesn't discern, doesn't take anything in rightly. They inherit folly. Hey, that sounds good. I'll try that. Sure, I'll eat that. They don't even know where it came from. That sounds like a good theology to find. Ready? You want to come to our church? People don't even ask what they teach and what they do there. Hey, that sounds good. I'll show up. What does that lead to, brother? It leads to folly, right?
Yeah, it does. It's just like folly and vanity, and you're not leaving your sin. You're not drawing close to God. He's not drawing close to you. It's almost, it's like the placebo kind of pill.
Yeah, that word folly means foolish, silliness. We got a culture full of that, don't we, brother?
Oh, yeah, big time. And the verse that came to mind for me, I guess I was looking at that second portion where it was saying, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. And I was thinking about another Ecclesiastes 2 verse, Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather it to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So I was thinking about, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. Yeah, I like that.
I love that. Yeah, that's awesome. I like Psalm 8:5 too, talking about crowned. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than an angel and hast crowned him with glory and honor. So that crown is like something that represents like what you're made of in a good case. And in this case, what you're made of, a prudent person is made up of or crowned with the knowledge of the things of God. And God tells Israel in the Old Testament, his people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And I think there's a lot of that going around today. People lack wanting to know the truth. They're in denominations. They're in false church systems. They lack wanting to know the truth. They just have what they want. Don't tell me anything more. I don't want to have to change anything. I used to be a Roman Catholic and I gave that up, and now I'm a Baptist and that's good enough. I don't want to have to change again. And everybody seems to settle and find their own ground, their own level, plumb point, but it's got to be rooted and be of God's word, doesn't it?
Yeah, amen. We can see all the connections. It's like the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's like you have to... The prudent are crowned with knowledge, those who walk wisely with their eyes in their head, that see where they're going, and they test everything to the word of God, and they fear the word of God, and they want to depart from evil. They're crowned with knowledge, because the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Amen. Amen, brother. We'll do one more verse, brother. Verse 19, would you read that?
The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous.
Yeah. So when I think of this verse, I think about like where it talks about Philippians 2:10. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. I think about how the Bible talks about that the whole world is going to be submitted to Christ, whether they want to or not. Because he is God. And when you meet God, whether you're submitted to him or not, you will bow to him. It's like in Revelation where they say, let the rocks fall on us to hide us. Who can stand the wrath of the Lamb? And that's what I think about when I read this verse about the righteous, or I'm sorry, it says the wicked. I'm going back to it now. It says the wicked will bow, right? Verse 19.
Yeah, the evil.
Yep, evil. I'm sorry, the evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. What do you put on this verse, brother?
That's a good connection to that. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Because Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. So the evil bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. I want to look at that word gates. I think it's going to mean like entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the entrance.
The New Jerusalem is going to have 12 gates of representing each tribe of Israel, and it's like that's the Father's kingdom, and the gate. All cities always had gates where you entered in and left from, and yeah, the wicked at the gates. So basically, the Bible talks about God's people are going to rule with Him and be judges. So it's another indicator that people that do evil, they're going to be judged by the good.
That's true, and there's another thought that just came to mind for this verse. The evil bowing before the good, it's like, it also could be repentance as well. So the evil bowing before the good, like you get lowly, you're an evil person before coming to Christ, perhaps a sinner in the world. I know I was.
Yeah, me too.
And you have to get low and bow down before the good, who is God, Jesus Christ, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. So they're bowing at the entrance of the righteous. Jesus said, I am the door, and the sheep go in and out and find pasture. So it's like you're bowing at the gate of the righteous. You're like, please let me in.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. You get to that lowly state, and that's kind of what I thought of too.
Yeah, it definitely goes both ways, and that what you're talking about reminds us of the parable of like the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee says, "Oh Lord, I praise God. I'm not like them. I tithe and I go to church and I do." I'm paraphrasing. I do all these things, and the publican looks up and says, "I know I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, God." So he, being wicked, bowed before a righteous God. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's that getting low, and evil will always bow to the good, and that kind of goes back to that one verse, a few verses before, where it says, there's a way that seems right in man's eyes, but the end leads to death. It's like, it always comes back around to bowing before the good, because the good way is the only way.
Yeah, amen, brother. Amen. I think we'll leave it right there. We'll pick up next time on verse 20. Well done, brother. This will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area, and we'll just keep working through it. It was very edifying for me. How about you, brother?
Yeah, very edifying.
Proverbs definitely shows the way, doesn't it?
It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Amen, brother.